Verse 19. Everybody stand for the reading of the word. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Look at all these contrasts, man. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house, and for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they should come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we know that for a fact with a lot of people today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well. And I know, God, that you have our best interest always at your heart. And God, we know, Lord, we can't see your hand. We can always trust your heart. I ask you right now, Lord, to open hearts and open minds, Lord, as we go into your word. And Lord, help people glean today something very special and something that they can take back with them and use every day. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise on the way down. You know, some oldies but goldies. When I die, I want to go peacefully like my grandpa did in his sleep, not screaming like the passengers in his car. All right. Okay. All right. Listen, one more. I sure will be glad when scientists discover a cure for natural causes. A little better, huh? I know. Getting a little better. All right. So here we go. Be sure to keep praying for Linda's family. And we still got struggles because we're still trying to take care of her mother. And we're trying to get her placed, and it is not going good. So please be praying for her and for us as we try to take care of her. But at least now we do have some help. So people come in during the day and during the night, so we don't have to be there 24/7. And so that's good. And so we're just waiting for God to do something special and to take care of business, which he always does. Have you ever known a time he didn't take care of business? Amen. So, seven things in hell that every church needs. I'm just going to kind of go through some things that we went through last time, just so you can get caught up. Now, there's two kinds of lives here. There's the rich man, and there's Lazarus. One has everything, one's got nothing. One is wealthy, one is poor. One is healthy, one is disabled. One fares sumptuously, the other begs helplessly. One is unnamed and one is named. Wait a minute. All this good stuff going on for the rich man, but he doesn't have a name. All this bad stuff's going on with Lazarus, but God calls his name out. And let's know, number one, that this is not just a parable. This is a real story because God used names. But number two, let's know that because only one was named, only one really knew God. Amen? Obviously, the rich man, he thought he had it going on. He did not know God, or God would have known his name. And Lazarus means God is my help, or God is my helper. And there was two kinds of deaths here. Of course, the rich man, he died and he was buried. Lazarus, he died and he was escorted. The rich man wound up in hell, and Lazarus wound up in paradise. The rich man only saw glory. Lazarus experienced glory. The rich man was painfully alone, but Lazarus had companionship. The rich man was tormented. Lazarus was comforted. Do you kind of see how the tables were turned? 100%? 180 degrees? What was one was experiencing on earth, and the other one wasn't. Now in the afterlife, it is right the opposite. And of course, paradise, I told you last time, paradise, before Jesus died, nobody went to heaven. Nobody went to heaven when they died because the price had not been paid. Salvation was not complete. So at the time, there was Upper Sheol and Lower Sheol, and there was a great gulf in between. Upper Sheol was known as Abraham's bosom. That was a place of comfort. Lower Sheol was where Hades was, and that was a place of pain. And of course, he could see back and forth, but there was a gulf, so nobody could visit back and forth. And so when Jesus died on the cross, what did he tell the thief that asked for forgiveness? He said, remember me. What did he say? Today, that will be beware. In paradise, because he's going to go down to paradise, and the Bible says that he led captivity captive, meaning that he went into hell those 3 days. He went down into hell, and the Hades party said, I'm the one that y'all were looking for, I was the one you were not looking for, but you all prophesied, and you didn't believe it, and that's why you're here. Upper Sheol, he said, I'm the one y'all been looking for, I'm here, and I'm taking you home. So the Bible says he led captivity captive, which was, again, Upper Sheol was taken to heaven because the blood of Jesus had been shed. So now, let's go ahead and talk about this. You know, again, some good lessons from a bad example. I don't want to be a bad example. I know I have been. I know none of y'all have. Go ahead and say it, Ben. You mean today? I don't want to be a bad example, but I know sometimes I am. Sometimes I lose my cool. Sometimes I lose my cool points. You know, I remember the other night I was out there at the ball game, and Anna Lane said she had to go to the bathroom. So I said, I'll go with you. Dan, you keep on coaching. I got this. And so I'm running. I said, run, Anna Lane, run. And she was running, trying to look at me, giggling. And I thought we were having a good time. And here was Emery was over here, and Michelle way over on the other side of the field. And some other people saw me running. And my problem was my glasses started doing that. And I'm trying to catch up with her, and my glasses are doing this, and now I can't find the floor. The next thing I know, I didn't just tumble. I fell face first. I ate dirt. So I tumbled, ate dirt, and flipped over. And Adelaide comes to me and says, speak to me, Papa. Paul, speak to me, Papa. I said, I'm okay. But I threw my phone out. I threw my pen out. You know, and I landed in somebody's popcorn they had spilled. And Lane said, Papa, is that your popcorn? I said, yeah, I ate that this morning. I lost all my cool points. And so I just got up and went, nobody saw that, did they? And next thing, Emory is coming up, and Emory goes, Papa, you okay? I said, I'm fine. She says, yep, you look like it, Papa. Look at your hair. Yeah. And so when I walked back, Emory said that she looked over her mom and said, is that Papa running? And she said, Michelle said, wait for it. I thought nobody saw it. So I go to the next game the next week, and somebody popped up and said, I bet you were sore the next day, weren't you? I said, what are you talking about? She said, you know what I'm talking about. She said, we all, the whole bunch of them up there, we all know. So that was a good lesson for a bad example. If I'm going to run, I either take my glasses off or I get some of those things that stick to your head. I'm going to give you some advice. If you start running and your glasses start doing this, you don't know where your feet are going. Amen. Good lessons from a bad example. Okay, so here we go. Number one, this is where we stopped last time. Number one, we were going to do this last week, but my father-in-law, he died around 1:30 in the morning, and so I stayed with my wife, and we tried to get everything going. We were at the funeral home. While y'all were having the service, we were at the funeral home. All right. Number one is vision. In hell, he opens up his eyes. Remember what I told you before, there is no atheist in hell? None. They may have been an atheist before, but once they get there, they know, hey, this was real. This is the real deal. I wish I had paid attention. I wish I had listened. So he had a vision of heaven and hell. He also had a vision for the lost after this. And we need to have a vision, a real vision of heaven and of hell. You know, I don't like preaching on hell. I really don't. I'd rather just, you know, paint rainbows in the sky. But you know what? You can't paint rainbows all the time because there is a real hell. There's a hell to avoid. And we need that. Sometimes we don't even preach it enough. So, of course, there was this preacher. he was preaching on hell, and the people got up and, you know, went to the bathroom, walked out. And a couple weeks later, an evangelist came and preached. And everybody came to the altar and got saved. He looked over at his deacon and said, I preach on hell, and everybody leaves. He preaches on hell, and they run to the altar. What's the difference? He said, well, you preach like you're trying to send them there. And he said, the evangelist preached like he was trying to save them from it. Amen. So we need to get a fresh vision of heaven and hell, a fresh vision for the lost. There's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. We also need to get a fresh vision of what God can do through us. You know, I was ministering to somebody, just today, I was ministering to somebody on the way up to church, and they said, well, I would call so-and-so and tell them, you know, I'm sorry for, you know, whatever. And they said, but I don't know what to say. And I said, well, you know what you've done. And they said, what? I said, by not calling, you haven't even showed them you cared at all. It's okay to not know what to say, so call them. And when they said, and they said, what's their number? I said, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but at least tell me you don't know what to say. He said, okay, got you. So what can God do through us? And remember telling you about the night before Bethany died. I was at home trying to take care of Linda. I was beat beyond beat. And I get in my car and we're getting to ride that 30 minutes back to Greenville to relieve DC so I can spend the night with Bethany. And Patrick calls me. And Patrick says, I have no idea what to say. Remember that? He said, I got no idea what to say. I said, just talk. And we talked 30 minutes and talked 30 minutes in the parking lot. And all we talked, I'm not sure what we even talked about. I have no idea. But you know what? It meant more to me than that preacher coming in going, Romans 8:28. His IQ was just a record skipping. Romans 8:28. And I said, I really appreciate you helping. I really appreciate you being here and praying for my daughter. I said, but I need to go back in with her. And I walked in and I said, I've been Romans 8:28 enough today. Amen. Because I think you gave it to me about 20 times. You know, but that didn't minister to me, but just us talking ministered more than you ever imagined. So here we go. What can God do through this church? What can God do for us? What can God do through us? You know, we never know what he can. You know, you got to push the envelope. You never know what God can do if you don't push the envelope. Why don't you just sit back and say, I can't do anything? Nothing's going to happen. Do something. I like that song about do something. Somebody do something. So, number two. Things in hell that the church needs. All right? Tears. Amen? He looked up with tears in his eyes. You know, we need some tears of regret. I'm not talking about you got to be crying all the time. We need tears of regret. He found out that it was too late. We need tears of repentance. You know, all the time I'm saying, God, I shouldn't have done that. God, I should have listened to you. God, and instead of going, oh, well, I go, God, help me to repent. Help me to be what you want me to be. And instead of me beating myself up, I'm going to give myself to you. And then tears of compassion. Now is the time to have compassion. It's time to have love. There's so much junk going on in the world today and so much, I can't get over all the junk that's going on in this world. And somebody needs to hear some compassion. They really do. The third thing was remembrance. Because he remembered. So you remember in your life you had what's good and Lazarus had what's bad. Father Abraham says now Lazarus is having what's bad and you got what you got. So not only does he remember his life, but the life of others. His advantages, his disadvantages, the hurts and the joys. We got to remember people. You know, the other day, there was something going on. Me and Linda were down in the foxhole, really strong. That's when it was just me and her doing 24/7 with her dad. And his mind was going. And as his mind was going, he had times where he actually was attacking us. And it's hard enough to try to take care of them, but then when they're attacking you too. And so that was all going on. And I happened to go through and find a picture. And I sent it to my friends, but the picture was of a four-year-old sister with her hand on the back of her three-year-old brother who was throwing up after a chemotherapy thing. A chemotherapy session. And it says, this is a four-year-old sister comforting her brother as he throws up from the chemotherapy. And down below says, and you think you got problems. And so I told Linda, Linda says, that's not really helping right now. I said, I understand. Because then she started feeling bad about the children. I said, the point I was trying to make is just thank God that through it all, he's with us. 100% he's with us. Okay, and it just gives me a perspective. That's all, just perspective. I never try to tell somebody your pain's worse than mine, my pain's worse than yours. Everybody's pain is their pain. And nobody can come to you and say, well, my pain's worse than yours. Remember telling you about the time not long ago, I was in food line. And the lady that was checking people out, the person behind me said, I don't know how you're even here this day. And she said, I can handle this. It's going to be okay. And she said, but such a loss. And she said, it was your son. And so that then all of a sudden now I'm hearing this, right? So I look over at the woman. I said, I'm sorry. Did you lost your son? She said, yeah, he was 20, 23, 24. I said, I'm so, so sorry. I said, nobody knows how you feel but you. I said, but I do know what it's like to lose a child. I said, I lost my child she was 27. And she said, well, what'd she die of? And I said, cancer. And she said, well, my son was shot 5 times. And now we're going to have a contest. And I said, ma'am, it doesn't matter how. I'm just here to tell you that God's got this. And she goes, yeah, but, and then she made it out like she was the only one in the whole place and that nobody else had experienced that kind of pain. And I kept trying to talk to her, and she just kept, and I just finally said, I'm praying for you. Have a good day. And I walked out. I never try to compare my pain to anybody else's because everybody's pain is personal, and you don't know how bad that pain is of that person. All you can do is be there for that person and tell them, if nothing else, help me to understand your pain, and I don't ever say I know what you're going through, but just say help them. By telling them, okay, look, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here for you and I'm praying for you. And maybe you can even, you know, help me to understand what kind of pain you're going through. I had somebody the other night call me up and was talking to me. Somebody didn't even go here to somebody that was calling trying to get some help mentally. And I thought we were going in a good direction. And the person said, you have no idea what I'm going through. And I said, no, I don't. I said, but can you help me understand? You know, that totally changed his attitude. I just helped me understand. I have no idea. You're right. Yeah, but you helped me to understand. And so again, remember, let's remember people, especially nowadays. Okay. Number four. What the church needs is separation. It said there was a great gulf in between. Separation, I'm talking about a separation for evil. Now, I'm not speaking of legalism. No, 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 no. This is not about what you wear, what you put on, what you take off, how many scripture verses you can quote. It's, I'm living a life. Legalism actually pleases flesh. I'm talking about living a life that pleases God. I don't have to follow behind you. I don't have to beat you up with the Bible. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your memory and convict your heart. Matter of fact, here's what you know. If it's condemnation, guess where that comes from? Condemnation comes from Satan. But if it's conviction, it's from God. And God's trying to tell you, there's a better way. Let me help you. Colossians 1 and 10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Number 5, this is going kind of quick. It's quicker than I thought it was going to be. But that's okay. Prayer. Now he's praying. Now this man is praying for the lost. It's amazing how he wasn't praying for the lost to begin with. But now that he sees where he's at, now he's praying for the lost. You know, he's finally concerned for them. Let me ask you a question. What's it going to take for us to get concerned about people? I taught more than my four and no more. What's it going to take to start being concerned about people and knowing that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid? Number 6. Missions. The rich man's now in hell, but now he is a believer and he wants to help other people to believe. He didn't believe until he got there. He's trying to help other people believe so they won't have to come there. And then finally, and I'm closing. And Brandon, you can come up here and play something softly. My awesome brother. Concern. We need a concern to tell folks, hey, there is a better way. You ain't got to beat them up. You ain't got to drag them through the mud. You don't have to tear them from limb to limb. All you got to do is tell them there's a better way. There's a better way than what the way you're going. You know, over the years, it's been 18 years at Pitt Detention Center and 3 years in the SHARP program. And over the years, I've told you before, over the years, there's been atheists, there's been Satanists, and other religions in that place. And to start with, some even tried to complain that they didn't want to hear about God. And so instead of beating them up, I said, well, tell me why not. Let me hear. What's going on? What do you want to hear? Why is this offensive to you? Tell me. And it's so amazing is, without fail, every last one of them came over. Everyone came over. One of the guys that had been a Satanist, he had gotten saved. And he told me he was going to prison for a few years. He said, when I get out of here, I'm going to look you up. He says, because I want you to help train me so I can tell other people about this Jesus that you taught me about. Wow. Let me just summarize a few things, and then we're gonna pray. Number one, the dead are still alive. Matter of fact, everybody that's died is more alive now than they were when they were here, because here they have the constraints of the human body and all the things around us. There they don't. Number two, the dead do retain their personalities. Did you know that? There it is, the rich man and Lazarus. They retain their personalities. They retain their essential character. Don't think when we get up to heaven, we're going to be on a cloud somewhere playing a harp. That's not going to happen. Also, death marks final separation between the saved and the lost. Next, hell is a place of eternal suffering. It really is. It really is a bad place. This reminds me, an evangelist was exhorting people to be free from the wrath to come. He said, I warn you, he thundered, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Suddenly, an old woman in the gallery stood up and said, sir, I have no teeth. To which he replied, Madam, teeth will be provided. And finally, those in hell will cry out for help, but help will never come. We need to share this. When I see some people acting crazy, that's what I see. When people are attacking me, if I look at it from a human standpoint, they're looking down, pointing. But if the truth be known, they're down on the ground reaching up. Something's wrong and they need help. Now is the time to get those seven things from hell and incorporate them in our own life and let God do something very, very special for us. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here today? And you would say, Pastor, I don't even know where I stand with God. But I'd like to. Or maybe you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I know I'm not where I should be with God, but I want to be. With every head bowed, every eye closed, quickly, just put that hand up. I'm not going to make an example out of you. Just put that hand up. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I just want to draw closer, and I want to be able to lead some people from hell. I just want to draw close, let God use me, and lead people from hell. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up? Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Help me to draw close to you. Help me to understand that our day is coming. Also, Lord, help us to understand that God has commissioned us to bring people with us. And we thank you for that. Help us to be busy about God's work. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen, amen. Hold on just for a minute, just for a second, Brandon, just for a second. I'm gonna do something. When I was writing songs, I was writing a song. I was reading about hell, and I was so fascinated with hell as I started reading the Bible, because I'd heard all this stuff, the devil with the pitchfork and the red tail and the horns and all this, and I found out no, he's disguised himself as an angel of light. And all the things going on. So I wrote a song. The only problem is I never sang it anywhere. Because who wants to sing this in praise and worship? I took all the stuff about hell and put it together and I wrote a song. And I'm going to try to sing it for you. I'm not going to play anything. I'm just going to sing it. But I want you to listen to the words. Because this was what God showed me through his word about hell. And it came to me after my cousin was ejected from a car. He rejected me talking about God. And it wasn't long. He got in a car wreck and he was ejected out of his car. And the car rolled over on him and crushed him. Now, am I saying he went in hell? I don't know. I have no idea. But this is when this song came along. Ready? Here it is. And this is biblical. This is all Bible. And it's not something made up. Ready? Darkness completely surrounds me. The smell of flesh burning fills the air. All this weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'm going crazy and there's no one to care. I should have heeded all those warnings. I should have listened to my mama's cry. I was too young to live for Jesus. But I wasn't too young to die. Darkness completely surrounds me. When will this terror end? Jesus, please forgive me. Please let me live again. Wow, not a praise and worship song, is it? Carry on, young man. Come back Tuesday night. We started something with Risen, with all the letters, and it was, matter of fact, it was one of the best things we had done in a while. I got so much participation. So we started with Grace last week, so we had G, we got R this week. So all that will, come on, we're going to have a good time, and we'll get back on another subject soon, but this has been fun. It was absolutely